Welcome to episode 543 of Fly Away. Over the past few years, we've been reminded time and again how much the world relies on travel. From supporting local economies to learning about new cultures, the experience that travel provides helps to make our world smaller and bring us closer together. Here at Outlander Travel, we've been proud to be a small part of bringing that to you through our weekly podcast. My name is Anna, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents, Elizabeth and Sandy. This week, we are embarking on a captivating journey through the waves and waterways, comparing two enchanting travel experiences, European river cruising and ocean cruising. Whether you're a seasoned seafarer or a first-time cruiser, this episode will help you navigate the distinct nuances and unique charms of each option. From picturesque riverbanks to panoramic ocean horizons, we'll dive into the highs and highlights of these epic voyages. Grab your passports and let's set sail on this comparative cruise journey. So let's get started.
Yay!
Woohoo! All right. So let's get started. Now, I did not mean to say that twice. I have not had the distinct pleasure of river cruising. So I've done a lot of ocean cruising. So I'm relying on you ladies to.
Yeah. Are we doing like points to each one, or we're just going to like,
I think we could, compare. I think we could. And both of you have been on river cruises, obviously.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. Multiple.
And ocean cruises.
Yes. So I don't know. What are some of like the most distinct difference, like,
well, first we should clarify too that ocean cruising, you know, I think the normal thought is ocean cruising means big ship.
Right.
But ocean cruising can mean medium-sized ship, and it could even mean small ships. So there, it is possible to do an ocean cruise that has less than 200 passengers on board. Mm-hmm. The smaller the ocean cruise ship, the more expensive it is. They start calling them yachts, mm-hmm. which is not inaccurate. So, the size of the ship can't be the main distinguishing factor, because in all honesty, river cruises are always small. They're always less than 200 passengers, just because mm-hmm. the ship size is limited. Yeah. But don't think that that means ocean cruise is big. It doesn't necessarily mean that it is. So.
Yeah.
I guess that also, like one of the biggest differences is where you can go on each mm-hmm. one. Cause there's some places that there aren't rivers, you know? yeah. And then there's some like river destinations that you can't get to on an ocean cruise.
But,
so,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think a good example of that is, there's like the port of, Seville in Spain. It's not something that you can river cruise to, because there's no river cruising in Spain proper. The rivers aren't designed for that sort of thing. However, if you take a smaller ship, and the first one that comes to mind is Azamara, but there's a few that are small enough to do this, you can go right up the river from the ocean and sail right into town. Whereas if you have a Seville stop and you're on a larger cruise ship, ocean cruise ship, you're actually busing to Seville from the coast. So you want to look too, like there are some places you can't always say ocean cruises can't get to smaller ports, going back to that small ship feature, but it may mean that there are ports that can't accommodate a larger ocean cruise ship, but you also can't cruise to on rivers. So you sort of have to think, Portofino is another one that's a really good example. If you sail to Portofino, you need to be on a much smaller ocean cruise ship. There aren't river cruises in Italy. So your river cruise isn't an option, but a large ocean cruise isn't an option either, unless you want to take a bus a long way to get there. And seeing Portofino from a bus is not the way to see Portofino.
No, definitely not. Well, I think one of the other major distinctions would probably be as far as like amenities, entertainment. River cruising has kind of more of that just chill vibe, you know, where
for instance, some of like the bigger cruise ships, you know, you've got nightclubs and,
casinos.
You know, big Broadway style. Casinos, mm-hmm. big Broadway style shows. There's literally just everywhere you turn, there's just stuff to do. And, river cruising seems a little more relaxed. I mean, you'll still have entertainment, but it's on a much more kind of chill, relaxed level, which is pretty nice.
Although we've had very energetic performers on a river cruise before. I mean, I think of the Groovies Gents in the Amsterdam area. They were very high energy, but it's a trio, right? So, you know, you're not going to, and they get on the ship and perform and then get back off the ship. It's, they don't sail with you the whole time. So you don't have entertainers with you the whole, you might have a piano player or somebody like that, but the entertainers, guests who come on board and then disembark just a little bit down the river. And then they go home and go to sleep that night. Whereas on a big river, on a big ocean cruise, you'll have live aboard entertainment that they do the multiple shows during the week or various entertainers. You may have a trio, but you may also have dancers. You may also have a cabaret singer, you know? So,
yeah, I do like that about the river cruises. I think it's pretty cool the way they bring on, you know, the local, local people, you know, to entertain. Right. And I think that's really neat.
I think that also makes me, it reminds me of how river cruising is kind of, it's more relaxed in the sense that it's easier to get on and off the ship than an ocean cruise. There's not, it's, you know, bringing stuff back on board. Nobody cares if you bring a bottle of wine back on board your river cruise and drink it on the ship, you know? So there's things about it that are just a little bit more relaxed than the ocean cruise. That's like they're stricter about that stuff. And they're, you know, you have to, I mean, you do have to scan in and out on the river cruise too, but it just seems like it's easier and more, just quicker. More low-key. It's quicker. It's a quicker process. Another thing that comes to mind is accessibility, because even though you think about river cruises as kind of skewing to like an more mature clientele, they're not really accessible to people who have mobility challenges. So I think an ocean cruise is definitely something that is, you know, a lot easier for somebody who has those kind of challenges to get around. Like,
A lot of people are surprised that there aren't elevators on river cruises. And in fact, there usually is an elevator, but it won't normally go to the very top deck. And the reason it won't do that is because sometimes they have to go under a bridge and there's no elevator that can basically lower down the way, like the actual bridge where the captain sits will lower down. It's mechanized to do that. They can't do that with an elevator just by the nature of the beast. I suppose it's possible, but it's probably cost prohibitive to do that. So you could get up and down the three decks, you know, but if you need to go to the top deck, you won't be able to do it. And that actually is something where you think, oh, I can avoid that, but you can't, because there's going to be places where sometimes in port, you actually have to leave the ship from the top deck. And then the ramps are in no way easy to navigate. They're difficult for people who are fit and, you know, who run marathons to navigate. Sometimes they're icy, sometimes they're wet, and sometimes they're just treacherous anyway. So they're not super stable.
Sometimes you're going down steps to get to the ramp, you know, so it's not even always easy from where you're embarking. So it's definitely something to think about.
And people ask us, you know, well, what about ADA? And you have, that's an American thing. ADA is a thing in Europe. And so, you know, people in Europe have other ways of being accommodated, and they're not so concerned about making the river cruises work for them. You know, it's just not something that they would then choose as a vacation. So,
Now I know both of you have older children. Have any of your children river cruised?
Not mine. No.
Have yours, Elizabeth?
Yeah. Both of them have. Although, one, so I guess Finley was 19 going on 20 when he did it. And Marcus was actually 12 when he did it. So huge difference. Okay. If I had taken Finley on a river cruise when he was 12, he would have jumped off the ship and tried to swim to shore. He would have hated it. But now that he's older, he can appreciate it. Marcus has always been more of a history. We'll just call him a nerd. He's not listening. So we'll just call him a nerd.
I would call him an old soul. I wouldn't call
him an old soul. I think that's fair. He's always been really interested in history and I think the history side of things, whereas Finley is much more into the art side of things. And so he has learned as he's gotten older, the value of a river cruise from the art perspective. And they both now like the other thing, but you know, generally Marcus wasn't as intrigued by art museums before. Finley wasn't as intrigued by historical museums before. And now they sort of can mush together. But I will say, if you're taking a younger child, you do want to be aware that it is not water slides and pina coladas. And actually that was the one thing that the crew was just so into making Marcus happy because they weren't used to having a 12-year-old on board. And they said, what, you know, and he doesn't drink soda. And it made them crazy. They were like, what can we serve you that you would like? And he was like, could I get a strawberry daiquiri? So they literally went out in port and bought the stuff to make a strawberry daiquiri with, including a blender, because they didn't have a blender on board.
That's amazing.
Yes. Oh, and then everyone in the dining room was like, I want one of those.
Right.
Strawberry daiquiri.
Yeah. So he really did enjoy it from that perspective. But when you asked him to give his perspective as a kid, the first thing he said was, well, don't expect water slides. So clearly he missed that.
Kids clubs, really. I mean, there's not.
Yeah. None of that. I think my oldest would enjoy it. He's not, for the simple fact that he's just a very chill, low key. And I think that would just kind of be his vibe. Mm-hmm. I think that's something he would enjoy doing.
Although don't think that a river cruise is just sit back and relax either. I mean, it certainly can be, but there's a lot to do in port too. And so that's, you know, that my kids actually did enjoy that too. They were not as tolerant as I, you know, I have been to some of these places several times. And so I'm likely to just stay on the ship and read my book because that's something I don't always get to do. Mm-hmm. And so for them, that just drives them crazy. They're like, what do you mean you're not going out? You know, we got to go out. So
Yeah,
I think he'd go out I think he would go out and enjoy going out and exploring the various ports, but I think he would like to have that more low key, chill space to come back to just kind of unwind and just, you know,
And I think being able to take breaks too, it's very easy, as Sandy mentioned before, to get on and off the ship. So on a regular cruise, that's a lot more difficult. So by the time you get back on the ship and go up the elevator and get back to your room, you're like, I don't want to go back out again. But
if you walk the whole length of the ship.
Yeah.
Just on the dock. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. But on a river cruise, it's, you know, you pop on and you're basically at your room. I mean, it's not very far to walk. So it's very easy to even run back for something. Oh, it's colder than I thought. I'm going to run back and get a jacket, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Another thing that comes to mind. Well, Elizabeth, I'm glad you brought up the small ship thing because I haven't sailed on a small ship ocean cruise in Europe. But this might not be quite as much of a difference as I'm thinking, but the excursions are included on a river cruise. I know some of the smaller ship ocean cruises do that too, but if you're on a larger one, then it's probably not going to be included and it's going to be extra. So
yeah, that's true.
That's what
There are very few, even the smaller ocean cruises that include excursions. And part of the reason is because they want you to have the flexibility to not do an excursion. If it's difficult, if you have to tender or whatever, then you can choose not to. Whereas when you've paid for excursions or if it's included in the price, you feel obligated to do it. But keep in mind too that on a river cruise, some of the excursions are very simple, you know, walking tours of the town. You know, it's not like a really involved, you're not zip lining or you know, rock climbing or anything.
Right.
You can do more active excursions on a river cruise, but in general they tend to be walking tours and then the rest of the time is meant to be on your own. So
don't they have kind of levels where you can do like something very, very relaxed and then it kind of bit like three different levels? I think that's what
yeah
kind of it like depends on various levels of
Yep. It depends on the river cruise right. as well. But yes, that right. is true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So I like that they offer stuff for various people.
Yeah. It does allow you.
They're more active or not quite as active. And
yeah. And it allows me to travel with my children. You know, they can do a lot more than I can. So mm-hmm. that, and I mean, that's actually true on cruises too, where you can sort of choose your own adventure on ocean cruises as well. I will mm-hmm. say that while we're talking about ship size, you know, what we talked about with the river cruise being easy to get on and off of, a smaller ship experience can also be like that. I did an intensive Croatia intensive on Azamara a couple of years ago, and it was very easy to get on and off the ship and go back to your room. It's a little bit bigger than a river cruise for sure. You did have to, you know, take an elevator to your room, but it wasn't mm-hmm. prohibitive of coming off and on the ship. Like at one point I actually went and put my shopping bags away from my excursion in town. And then I came back down and sat on the pier and put my feet in the water. You know, it's like, you have that sort of flexibility with a small ship as well.
Yeah. All right. That's so cool. We've talked about ship size and ports and entertainment and excursions.
So which do you prefer, Elizabeth?
I think that depends on where I'm going. I will say that as I get older, the idea of doing a really large ship cruise is less appealing to me as I get older anyway, but mm-hmm. I certainly don't want to do it in Europe because I am going to Europe to see Europe. And it's, I actually have this same mindset about Alaska as well. I think that there are people who a large ship in places like that is great. Yes. But you know, if you want a lot to do on board, but, I don't need a whole lot to do on board, and I much rather have the access to places that are harder for me to get to by plane. So when I do a cruise in Europe, I'm tending to look for the cruise by destination and not by ship. The itinerary. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, if I'm going to cruise around the British Isles, I don't want to only go to London and Edinburgh. And well, in London, you really need a small ship to actually go up the Thames into London. But, I want to go to the Orkney Islands, and I want to go to, you know, I want to go off the northwest coast of Ireland, where you generally don't go on a normal tour. So I want to really experience the coastal towns of a place and not necessarily the big cities of a place when I'm ocean cruising and when I'm river cruising. I certainly like river cruising from a big city, but I like being able to stop in the smaller places that unless you rent a car, you're probably not going to go to otherwise.
Yeah. I'm finding the older I get, the more I just don't want like to have 50. I don't really need 50 million activities that normally after dinner might catch a little live music or maybe a show and then I'm done.
Like, yeah, but
I can't.
Having said that, we are all of an age and we all have children who are older, you know, so mm-hmm. I can see if you had smaller kids, I think that there's appeal in those bigger ships because
absolutely.
There's yes. so much more to do. Yeah.
Yes. And I will say that I have done a cruise on the Norwegian Prima, which is one of the newer, bigger ships. It's not a super ship, but it is definitely large. I mean, it has a race car thing on top. So, and we went Iceland and Ireland and England and France and Amsterdam. So I really enjoyed that. I enjoyed it partially because I was also with a group and of friends. And so yeah. it was really nice to have lots of ways to get together in the evening and do different things, you know, do the games on top of the, you know, on the top deck, the axe throwing or the mini golf or whatever, the darts. I really did like that. So I think, but those are all places that I've mostly been before with just a couple of exceptions. So I wasn't as married to the destination. I loved doing those places, seeing those places with my friends though. So I think some of it also depends on the mood. If it had just been my husband and myself, I don't think we needed all that. You know, we're much more chill and much more introverted in general. So
of an age. Yeah.
Of an age, exactly. So it really, I think it does, it comes down to matching, you know, what you want to do. And I know, mm-hmm. Anna, you did Europe with Virgin, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And Virgin is a smaller ship. It's not
one of the big mega ships.
Ship. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you enjoyed that, correct?
Very much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. But that was also adult only. So, you know, that does change the dynamic of it as well.
It does. It changes the vibe of the shit. You know, it's, when you don't have little ones running around. And
well, she did the Rockstar suite too. So,
yes.
That changes the vibe too.
It really does. But yeah, that was great. I enjoyed Virgin in Europe. Highly recommend it. So it was good.
Yeah. And Sandy, you've done Norwegian in Europe, correct?
Yes.
Was it so, Epic? Or
no, it wasn't the Epic. It was the Star. So one of their older, smaller ships.
Okay, smaller.
Yeah. But not, I would still say it's, I want to say it was like 2,400 passengers. So not small, you know. Mm-hmm. But we overnighted in Amsterdam, which I had done on a river cruise too. And really, well, so we were docked a little bit further away, but still walking into the town, you know, we did some of the same ports. The biggest difference for that one was the Paris. Like it said Paris on the itinerary, but Paris was 3 hours away from where we were docked each way. Yeah. So we didn't go to Paris that day, but
that's true. A lot in Italy too. People, you know, they see even Pisa, but if you see Florence on an itinerary, you're taking a bus, and it's quite a ways. You know, Florence is right in the middle of the country, so they're stopping at a small port town that gives you access to that, but access can be a bit of a question. So that was actually when we were in France, that was one of the things on the Prima. We stopped at Le Havre, which is a huge, it's a port city, but it can accommodate those big ships. Yeah. And there were people who did the day trip into Paris. And I'm like, no, this is not a trip for Paris. I'm not going to go 3 hours each way to go say, oh, look, the Eiffel Tower and come back again. Like that doesn't make any sense to me.
You wouldn't have any time there once
it has to be a long, port stop. Mm-hmm. Yeah. To me. And it was, the day I was there, it was a very long
time. It was all day for sure. But by the time you get back, you're exhausted. And we went to Rouen that day, which is where Joan of Arc spent most of her time. And she was killed there as well. She was burned at the stake there. And that's not, it's about an hour, but that's worth it to me because that's not, it's not off the beaten path. Plenty of people go there, but it's definitely a different stop. So I would absolutely recommend that when you're looking at the port where you are, it isn't necessary to go really far away. People do river cruises in France to go see Normandy, but it's still an hour and a half each way from where the ship docks. So in some ways it makes more sense to just do that in a different type of trip. Like there are no cruises that take you to the beaches of Normandy directly. But there may be better ways to do that than on a river cruise. It may not be the best way to see that destination. So,
Nice.
I think in summary, from what we've talked about, it really does, it's a matter of matching you to the right experience for the right time. And I don't think one should ever write off one version or the other. Say, oh, I don't want to do ocean cruising. I'm not a cruiser, or I don't want to do river cruising because I'm not a cruiser. I think that they are so different. If you get seasick, a river cruise may be a better option for you. But if you want to see Italy, it's probably not going to be a good option for you. There are no river cruises in Italy. So I think it's a matter of matching where you're going and why you want to go there and how long you want to spend there. And that will determine the best way to cruise it. But don't think that the only cruising in Europe is river or the only cruising in Europe is ocean, because they both serve an excellent purpose there.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited. I want to do a river cruise. Definitely. That's definitely very high up on my list. So I'll get there.
Yeah. You will.
<That's nice>. I will. Okay. Well, that's our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of outlandertravel.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We would love to hear from you. On behalf of Sandy, Elizabeth, and myself, Anna, thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly.